Is there anything better on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show than a Friday?
No, there's not.
No. No, not at all.
Saturday's pretty good, though.
Really good.
Friday at 5:54 p.m. is great.
The highlight of the show.
If you are one of those lucky ones, maybe in a car driving far away from work, write us. Tell us what it feels like right now as we look forward to 2 hours on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. All kidding aside, Nick Kyprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McGee. Look at the energy coming out of Sammy right now.
Who's kidding?
What's that?
We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus.
We're everywhere.
We are. Okay. Rome was burning last week for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Mm-hmm. No longer the case. Winning games, earning points. Still very much in the thick of things for a division win, something that we haven't seen in a very long time.
Yeah, they're in the hunt. I sent a tweet a little bit before the show that last year at this time, after 69 games, they had two more points, but they were
really
8 points out of first.
Hmm.
And 2 years ago, they had four more points than they have right now, and they were 18 points out of first.
So
18.
That was the Bruins of that massive year.
Everybody just sucks then.
No.
What's your point?
My point is that they're lucky that the top of the division isn't as good.
That's what I said.
No, because the bottom of the division is way better. Ottawa's better. Montreal's better. Detroit's better. So the division's not worse. The top's just softer. So they have a chance, even though they're worse.
Half glass. Full or empty, Sammy?
I don't know. This team tires me out. Like, you use all this energy trying to figure out what's wrong with them. And we go through these really down stretches with the season where up and down, three-game winning streak, three-game losing streak, five-game winning streak, three-game losing streak, where it's just not a ton of consistency in terms of, like, you know, win a couple in a row, lose one, win a couple in a row. And it's just I don't know what to make of it. Mm-hmm. Because last night, I don't think the Rangers were very good. Colorado, clearly a very good team. Calgary, not a great team. They're not going to play a great team on Saturday night against Nashville. I have a hard time making sense.
I got to show pet peeve with both of you.
Uh-oh.
And the pet peeve is every time they beat someone, it's the other team's bad.
They stink.
Oh, the Rangers stink. Oh, the Flames stink.
Okay.
They're both playoff teams. Or close to.
Mm. Rangers, like, can't win at home. They're not even a 500 team at home.
They got the best goalie on earth.
He's not this season the best goalie on earth. He's not.
Okay.
And he's still their best player.
Mm-hmm.
But we had Dave Maloney, who covers the teams on a day-to-day basis. It's not us making it up that the only way the Leafs win is if the other team stinks.
Well, this is not a recency complaint. This is a lifelong Kipper and Bourne complaint. It doesn't matter who they beat. They'll be up 4-1 group chat. God, that team stinks. It's like, maybe they're having a good night.
Last night was a good night? It was a good night. It was a good night for John Tavares.
It was.
3 points. Looked like every bit the part of a top centerman. Made big plays.
I'll give an A to the second line. And an A to the top pair. And an A to the goalie. Mm. And everyone else is fine.
Yeah. A few C pluses.
Yeah, it's generous.
Couple. Maybe a D mixed in there, depending on who you want to talk about. But
yeah, they had guys that did enough. Tavares ripped a couple, which is great to see.
All right, enough negativity out of the two of you. Let's go to a real positive head coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Craig Berube, on his overview of the game.
I thought we played a real good game. I thought it was a 60-minute game. I mean, they got a lot of talent over there. We didn't give any odd man rushes tonight. I thought we defended hard. Our goalie was good. Guys just played a smart game. I thought checked well, scored goals on situations that we talked about in the game. But, overall, I thought we were direct with our game, put pucks deep all night and played the right way.
I saw a lot of positives last night.
Okay.
We just mentioned Tavares, McMahon, Jake McCabe, mm-hmm. last two games, I think, has been a mule.
Mm-hmm. A lot of minutes.
Goaltending hasn't dipped the last two games. Good signs.
Is there a formula here? So the Berube says this is their identity. You know, they've played more to their identity of late.
Yes.
Is there a formula here that is viable in the playoffs to win multiple rounds?
Yeah. Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
What is the pieces necessary to get there?
I think you need 2.5, 3 great lines to win 2 months in the playoffs.
Okay.
Like, great lines.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many games that we could say that the Leafs had 3 really great, strong lines going at the same time.
Okay, but we know the Matthews line is a great line.
Yes.
We know that Tavares line can be great.
It's with McMahon. It's, you hope that they're all striding well at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't really happened.
Last night was one.
Last night was one of those where the Tavares line took over for Matthews the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Didn't think they had a great night. Matthews and Marner.
You'd say they had a bad night if you liked.
Okay. Tavares certainly carried the mail there. Mm-hmm. And McMahon needs to be on the top six now.
Yeah.
Right? But are you overcompensating? McMahon on the third line over the last little while was just to balance it out.
They're hoping he can drive a line on his own. And I think it's a big ask to say, not just chip in with goals, but be a driver of a line. That's a bigger ask.
And then if McMahon's up there, then you're Holmberg, Domi, Robertson, and then Kampflot and Lorenz. And a great bounce against Colorado for Lorenz, and those guys were feeling good again. But on a every other night playoff mode to get you from the first round to the third round, mm-hmm. you got to see some push.
You need better. Like, Lawton is a guy we're waiting to find it, and we know has scored 18 goals and 40 points in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Yarncroc has scored 20 goals in the league a year or two ago. Maybe Pacioretty. Like, I'm trying to think of who can be a third line where you might get some offense. But right now, Yarncroc's healthy scratch because he's not going. Can you do something like Kampflot and Yarncroc or some sort of, yeah, you got, I agree. They're looking for a third line, and Holmberg, Domi, Robertson.
Is certainly not it.
They will not use that line in playoffs. So I don't see the point in rolling it out.
But I think we can all agree that when the playoffs start, that Nylander and Tavares will probably be together underneath Matthews and Marner and Nyes, right? Like, yeah. I think that left wing side on there is a little bit in flux. But, like, we made the comparison on Leafs Talk that Nylander and Tavares together is kind of just like that local bar in your neighborhood that you don't necessarily love, but it's a necessary evil, and you just, you know.
Sometimes you got to go there.
Like, it's not great some nights. Some nights the guy at the bar is a little bit of a loudmouth and you're not loving it, but other nights it's fine. Like, it's just a necessary evil because you can't really change up the rest of your lineup around it. But I don't know.
Okay, let's follow up Craig Berube on Tavares, and then we'll pick it up, Sammy.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, I thought he was really good tonight. You know, an older guy like that on back-to-back nights, and, you know, pretty quick team over there too, but he was solid. He was so strong on pucks tonight and won all his battles, face-offs. He does all the little things right, and, you know, he's got that knack to score goals, I'll tell you that.
He knows it.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that quickness is a bit of an issue every now and then for John.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't shy of telling us how quick the Rangers are as a team. And John stood up. I don't know if he's trying to convince us or convince himself that John can do this
mm-hmm.
on a consistent basis. Or is it just some nights he's there and some nights it's just not there?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Tavares, I think, is going to be a guy who, again, not the driver of a line, but if it finds him in a pocket, he can put it away. He's got a great sense for it. You know, it's going to be hit and miss at times, but yeah, as long as he shoots it in sometimes, you're okay with it. I thought the ice time was really interesting last night. When was the last time Matthews, Marner, Nyes played less than the Tavares line? And by as much as they did, Tavares led the team in ice time, their forwards, 1942 Nylander, 1928. And then they were, Matthews and Marner were like 17-30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very unusual to see them play that little. And I will note that third line, the Domi line, they played 10 minutes, while the Lawton fourth line played 14 minutes. 13 and a half.
I don't know. You can flip a coin whether you want to call each one the third or fourth line.
I know. You just don't want to call Domi Robertson a fourth line because they don't seem like stereotypically fourth line-y, but yeah.
But to your point that you made going into the trade deadline, one of your points about Braden Schenn or one of the more high-profile center options was that you wanted somebody potentially to give Johnny T a spell.
Made it clear that if you are going to go get a centerman, you need someone that's closer to your first two lines and your fourth line.
Now you're in the situation where he's just your second line center, regardless of any situation, and you're going to battle with whoever you go to in the playoffs with him as your second line center.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
There's no way around it.
No. And like John Still, to your point, he can score.
Yeah.
No matter what you think, these type of players, Tavares, Willie, they can not look engaged and then poof, it's in the net. And he is one of those guys. He's done it his whole life, his whole career, since he first put on a Toronto Marley jersey.
Yeah, he's got 29 goals in 62 games this year.
Okay.
Seventh year of the seven-year deal.
He's just
pretty good.
He can go three.
Not bad.
He's another guy that can go three or four quiet games and then boom, 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it always balances out to almost a point a game his whole career.
Yeah.
He became the 13th first overall pick to reach 1,100 points since the NHL draft was introduced in 63. The only active players among that cohort are Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, Patrick Kane, and Steven Stamkos. So, you know,
we did last night a little board about where he could get to in all-time points in NHL history.
Yeah.
And, like, he's 200 away from the top 40. So that would be another, say, three seasons. Will he play another three seasons? Who knows?
Yeah.
But, like, he could get up to top 50, top whatever. Like, we're talking about an all-time producer. You get that high, you're in the Hall of Fame. Like, it just, there's not many guys who score that many points who aren't.
Not a career. Not to make this, like, a big picture conversation on John Tavares, but I guess, if, you know, getting to 1,100 points is as good a time to have it as any. I think he is a big victim, and we always talk about Marner and Matthews and Nylander and how they're talked about, but I think he's a huge victim of the lack of playoff success, and obviously he's part of that. He was the captain of this team for a long time, but you think about, as we're showing one of his highlights here.
And kaboom.
Yeah, it was a great shot. I wouldn't mind that save
if I'm
Peter Laviolette, but what I'll say is he has come as advertised. Every year he's been here, he's produced. He's been really solid,
games,
consistent.
Yeah.
Everything.
He's just had zero success in the playoffs.
That's
his
what
whole
I mean.
Career.
That's
a big thing. Too.
It is, and that's what I'm saying. It's like it really.
Yeah.
Two series winning overtime goals
for sure. But if they elevated, like if they went to two or three second rounds, a conference final, maybe even a final, the way he would be talked about here.
Yes.
Like it is crazy. How little respect that he's given.
I don't want to underestimate the accumulation of 1,100 points.
That's a huge number,
right? And we've seen guys 10, 15 years ago get in the Hall of Fame with much less and have almost zero success in the playoffs as well.
Yeah,
I don't know where the standard is, if it's changed
a lot. He's a hockey Hall of Famer. No question.
The other thing is...
Giroux a Hall of Famer? Claude Giroux?
I'd say he's close. I mean, you look at the Hall of Fame standard. Isn't
they're identical.
I don't know. I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't have Giroux's numbers on my head.
1,100 points.
Okay, is your point that Giroux is bad? What's your point you're making?
Is Giroux a Hall of Famer, I'm asking you?
We're talking about guys on the fringe. I don't...
That's him. They're the same.
Did he get hit by a bus today? Does he get to play more games?
I'm asking
I don't know.
You today.
Very close.
Okay. So Tavares is very close.
Yeah.
Okay.
And to me.
Yeah. But another guy with lack of playoff success, no major wins, no major influence in the playoffs. It's a lot harder now to have 1,000 points and go into the Hall of Fame with no major awards or
I think it's easier.
No playoff success.
I think it's easier now because nobody wins. There's so many teams. Nobody wins. Like,
no,
there's two extra teams.
I beg to differ. I think the standard's a lot harder now to get in. You need to be a difference maker.
I think it's hard to get in, but I don't think winning is as important as it once was, which maybe it should be, but it's. Yeah. I don't think it's as prioritized.
I think major awards is a big deal. I think Stanley Cups is a big deal. Big moment games.
The other thing that he's a victim of.
I feel really old how many games that Claude Giroux has played. 1,250 games he's played already. That's stunning.
What's Tavares?
1,171.
Very close.
Yeah. The other thing Tavares is a victim of is the flat salary cap and making us deal with his talk about money all the time.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't a cap era, if guys didn't know what they made, like I always reference my dad's Islanders teams that didn't know what one another made, people always enjoyed my dad as kind of this under the radar, not the mainstream big guy, but he works hard, kills penalties, you know, gets points, all that sort of stuff. I think people would be really enjoying this version of 34-year-old John Tavares scoring 30-some goals in his seventh season after losing the C. But because it's like, yeah, but he makes $11 million.
I think that conversation's flipped this year a lot, and mostly because of what happened at the start of the year with the captaincy be taken away from him. And I think he was almost made to be a sympathetic figure. And the fact that he's having this season that he's having since that happened, I think has kind of flipped the perception on him a little bit, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah, but if they lose in the first round, that perception's out the window and you're right back to they should have never signed him.
No, I've never said that, though.
It falls into the salary cap kind of world of when you named him your big free agent signing, he went to 11. That pulled Matthews up. That pulled Marner up. They went from being 8 or 10
million.
This is
your argument, though.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's the narrative that's out there. But
I don't know anyone on the Leafs who would have said, you know, or I shouldn't say not anyone, but not many fans would have said, I wish they never signed John Tavares.
Not many fans know.
Yeah.
They don't know. Right?
I agree with that.
Yeah, they just don't know. They didn't follow it that closely.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's not the conversation for today, but
oh, we just had it.
Yeah. I think again, winning can take a lot of things to the next level, whether it's re-signing Mitch Marner, whether it's not Tavares adds a serious feather in his cap to go towards the Hall of Fame. There's plenty of room still here to go in the next 13 games and the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah. So they started rolling after the slump here, 3 straight wins. Why don't we listen to Berube tell us about what exactly has changed over the past few games in clip 4?
I think it's simple things. I really do. I think it's puck battles, competitiveness, just on our toes playing, you know, attacking. You know, get back to our game, back to our identity. That's what I see. Back to our identity.
You chalk that up to just ebbs and flows of a long season?
At times, but there's times I don't.
Right.
You know, I think there's times where, you know, we don't want to play direct enough. We want to play a different way, and it gets you in trouble sometimes.
Yeah, I see what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. They're just pushing harder now. They've kind of redialed a little bit here. Maybe it was just coming home, getting some home-cooked meals and walking their favorite dog.
Yeah.
But there's energy back now, and there's a sense of urgency, and they've closed gaps, and they're harder on the back check, and they're more attentive.
On the way off the broadcast last night, you said something to me just like, do you think they can win playing that style? And I was curious about that. So I wrote today, I looked at the past 10 Cup champions and compared how much teams dump it in versus the Leafs, how much like block shots, you know, hits, goaltending, all these different things. And it's funny because they play a very similar style to last year's Florida team without the personnel to play like Florida's team.
Yeah.
So it's like you can definitely win playing the way they're playing. Can you win with their personnel playing that way is going to be a big grit check for a lot of these guys where say you're asking them to dump it in a lot and get it back a lot.
I think if you're management and you are looking at the way of things have ended for however many years it has been, you're willing to try something else here.
That's exactly what I wrote.
So it's like, hey,
the old way didn't work, so we're trying this way.
And it looks like you're going to be able, like you're going to make the playoffs and you're going to be playing against, you know, a familiar foe or whatever, whoever you're going to play against. All of it has looked results-wise, not always on the ice, it hasn't looked the same, but all of the results look very, very similar. But, you know, you haven't seen what it's going to look like in the playoffs yet, so maybe this works. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
I referenced, I think yesterday, those Islanders teams, Barry Trotz teams that went to the conference final. They were 29th in shot share. Like, they were near the bottom in the league, but they were top 10 in high danger chance share because they protected the house, and the Leafs are the same as that. Yeah. They're near the bottom, tons of shots, whatever, but they do well when it comes to high danger stuff.
Yeah, they were saying on the broadcast last night that they've got 26 wins, I guess now 27 wins when getting outshot.
Yeah.
It's like they get outshot every night.
It's like, go ahead and shoot.
It's almost as if it's now part of their identity that we love our goalies. If we're not blocking the shot, he'll make the first save. The one thing that I've really noticed once again, especially with Joseph Woll this week, is one and done. He can absorb a puck. No crazy second, third opportunities around for Colorado or Calgary this week. Rangers, which one didn't you like? You know, he was screened off of the point shot late in the period, I think, and late in the game as well with the Kreider.
The one rebound was a little greasy, where he kicks it right under the stick of somebody in the slot.
Panarin.
There, but
Panarin.
Yeah. I'm not going to kill him for it.
Kind of greasy giveaway by Morgan Rielly up the wall, too. A little bit of a soft play, but, you know, for the most part, that stuff's been covered up.
You know what I think is, because of the way we're talking about their strategy, like they're okay with shots from out there as long as there's not a ton from in here, is you're at risk for the goal they gave up to make it 4-3. A lot of pucks from distance. Some are going to go through, get tipped, find holes. Like, Kreider's some days you're going to have bad luck. Some days you're going to have good luck.
And that's...
Kreider's so good in that part.
It's just a style of play. Like, every once in a while, when they get hemmed in, it kind of blows me away that they just literally kind of stand.
Yeah, get real flat-footed.
And it's like, in my day, it was like, oh, you get out to your point, man, as fast as you can.
And now it's like, stay in
the
lane.
And now it's like, I'm staying here. If it hits me, it hits me. If it doesn't, chances are it's going to hit him, or him.
Yeah.
And we're okay with that.
Yeah, I don't love it.
I don't love it either.
I wouldn't mind seeing him hunt down a, you know, 40-60 puck here and there.
And then there's
I know the exact shift Kipper's thinking about. And it was Volves' favorite, Willie Nylander. I know, right up
the Statue of Liberty, defense.
Willie's the only guy.
Catching his breath.
I wish you could see, I wish you could see his health bar like in a video game, because when he's in the D zone, it builds. He's just like, if I stay motionless long enough, I'll be ready to go on offense again.
No, like, I'm getting ready for a breakaway.
Yeah. I mean, I played that way too. D zone was for rest.
It just seems, though, when they're going, it kind of works for them.
Yeah.
In their favor.
Do you want to hear the Stolarz clip?
Sure.
All right, clip 5, please.
Yeah, he was excellent. It was good to see him. Good to see a game out of him like that. I thought he was solid. You know, that's a good team over there. Got a lot of talent, and they're going to get chances, and he came up big for us.
Yep.
It's good to see him. Good to, like...
Where's he been?
No, he hasn't been that bad.
No, he's given up, like, three goals and one goal losses.
The standard that he built for himself, it feels like Berube's holding him to, like, Connor Hellebuck standard here. He didn't slip that bad, boys. Like, he had a couple okay games where they ended up losing. It's just he's holding them to this insane standard.
Yeah, you would have thought.
It's good to see him.
You would have thought
there
would be more looks of Stolarz like Allmark this year, where it's like House of Fire and then 18-wheeler off the cliff this week.
Hasn't happened.
Allmark. I mean, he's had a tough week in the last couple of starts, including last night getting shellacked by the Avs, but that hasn't happened to Stolarz.
Nope.
He hasn't been chased out of nets, and he hasn't been questioned like we question Allmark this year.
I was looking at save percentage, team save percentage, and the Leafs are 9th in the NHL in team save percentage, but if you eliminate the 6 Hildeby starts and the 2 Murray starts, they're 2nd.
Wow.
Yeah, so if just Woll or Stolarz, you're looking at the 2nd best goalie tandem this year.
That's fantastic.
So
it makes you feel good.
I think it's coming around a little bit. There's a couple of stretches. November, the Leafs had a good stretch. And I think early December where you're like, okay, identity. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of come back a little bit now.
Were they bad last year in March? Like, it felt like they were a little bit of a law. I should have looked this up before coming on the show. But I felt, in my mind, I don't remember them being great.
I don't think they were ever bad.
Okay. Honestly, the years blend together so much, you know?
Nyes?
Shot one in?
Just the stat. The 25 goals, 150 hits.
Oh, yeah.
Three guys in the league have done it. Him, Tom Wilson, Brady Tkachuk.
This year, three guys have done it. That is a hell of a group to be a part of.
Yeah.
You're going to love that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I still think that there's something in him. Like, I'll go back to that White Cloud fight where it's like you're just not fighting for fighting. You're fighting to send a message, prove a point. Yeah. There's anger in that fight. There was left hands looking like jackhammers. Like,
yeah,
bring that around a little bit more often, and then you'll really be in the Tkachuk Wilson conversation, not like distant third,
because
you are that big and that strong.
Wasn't Sam? Didn't you tell me that Books had him lined up for a?
I saw a $9 million number floating around
million
on the
offer
fan
sheet?
Hockey show today. Yeah, every Leafs RFA ever just gets offer sheeted. They're all going to be the
imaginary
richest.
Offer
they're all going to be the richest guy ever. Every time there's an RFA,
it's always the Leafs guys. $9 million.
Always the Leafs guys.
Nobody, because first of all, the Leafs would match. It would just be a big piss off. But the Leafs would match. Uh-huh. You're not letting him walk out the door. But
Broberg, game winner last night.
As long as you're not overly concerned about that, then just find a way to bridge them. That's all.
I was just looking at the Leafs schedule from last year. Pretty up and down March. But what I'm remembering is they lost four in a row to end the year.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they went Devils, Detroit, Florida, in Tampa.
And they still sat out Mitch, but I don't think they sat out Austin for the 70.
They sat out
Chase.
They
sat out Mitch for sure because – he gets sat out. It seems like he gets sat out every time he's chasing 100 points and he misses out by a point or two. No?
Sure. I don't know.
Did he not miss?
No, I remember specifically them all chasing it, like, very hard.
But did no one sit out at the end of last season?
Maybe he did, but he was way off 100 last year, wasn't he?
I don't know.
He missed a bunch of time. He wasn't even close to 100 points, and he had been banged up, so they sat him out.
What is not... close to 100 points mean, like 97?
No, he missed like a month and a half last year. There's no way he was close to 100.
Can you
last
look
year
it up?
Sure,
there's
I'm
something
Googling
called
right
a
now
computer.
I'm Googling. I'd rather just argue. Mitch Marner. Sorry, as I quickly pull this up here. He finished last season
with 85
points.
85.
He's played 69 games. It was the year before where he had 99 points.
So did he finish the season? Okay, the year before he was knocking on it.
Yeah, maybe. Anyways.
Okay.
There you go.
Break time.
And today's pointless conversation. But that, I mean, just the last thing on Nyes, I think it's pretty, that's a pretty incredible two guys to be paired with. And that's like your dream scenario. He's never going to have the FU of those two guys, but if he can have be the poor man's version of those two guys,
he could outscore Wilson.
Yeah, probably. That was a nice shot last night.
Yeah.
But.
Really?
What?
Really good shot.
Oh, okay. I thought you were all over me for saying he could outscore Wilson.
No. No. I think he's.
Tom Wilson has.
I think he's a legit 30-goal scorer.
Yeah. Tom Wilson's high in goals prior to this year was 24, which he's already passed, but he has 30 this year.
Like, can he become a 70-point guy, 80-point guy, point-a-game guy?
I think so. 70.
Washington is the opposite of the Rangers, where every single guy is having their career season.
Guys, we have calls. I don't want to miss the calls. Oh, love the calls.
Okay, you know you're obsessed.
The Leaf Line on a Friday, where we sit back and then we let you guys kind of sound like us. Is that what it is?
Something like that. It's nice to have someone else throw stuff at the wall.
We're good, Sammy?
All good.
Leaf Line, when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show, where we, for the next 20 minutes or so, sit back and relax and let you all out there do the work for us.
I kind of feel for whoever's calling today, because we're all kind of tired at the end of the week and, like, you know, might just open
not
season on me someone here.
Friday, baby.
You guys are supposed to be younger and more energetic than me. What is going on?
Oh, young kids sap your life force. I'm dying.
Yeah, I got no excuse.
Got a lot of hockey lately.
I mean, I rolled out of bed at the crack at 8:30 a.m. today, had a wonderful leisurely breakfast, literally no reason to be tired. I don't crack a rock. I don't lift a finger other than to type.
But you have a very difficult task of finding some of the best callers out there who've got thoughts and ideas on your Toronto Maple Leafs.
All right. How about we start with J-Dot from Mississauga?
J-Lo.
J-Dot.
Oh, J-Dot.
All right.
Look, I just got a general statement. You know, I'm a diehard Leaf fan through and through, long time, still waiting, passionate as everyone else. I'm also a realist. I just want to make a comment, though. You know, we came out of dark places with the losing streak, and then we go on a bit of a winning streak. We played well. You know, last couple of games, great. We can take that, and a lot of outlets and a lot of them, I'm not saying you boys specifically, just in general, it's always going back to that fear-mongering and playing on the stress and the emotion of Leaf fans. What a great win streak, but who's Mitch Marner going to sign with? Is he going to stay? Who's going to offer sheet Matthew Knight? Oh, the Leafs are in trouble. All these teams have draft capital. I mean, all these teams have the money. All these teams have interest. Of course they do. They're great players. I just tend to think that even though all these things might be true, this is the one market, and I do listen to other markets, radio and media. I'm a big hockey fan, not just a Leafs fan, just an NHL hockey fan. And really, yeah, I just find it very kind of concerning that this is always the narrative. And give Leaf fans a break, man. It's hard enough being a Leaf fan as it is in this fishbowl that we call Toronto as a hockey market. Anyways, boys, take care.
All right, so J-Dot's issue is that we're not staying in the moment. You're always looking, Sammy, at negative stuff around it.
Don't look at me. I mean,
I think that's a great call.
We should just get up and leave.
To go back to my 680 News or City News 680 days where I started before I was here. If it bleeds, it leads, baby. You know, that's sports talk radio.
I would like to say that it's not something that we ever consciously do. Like, it's not something like where they're playing well and we're like, we need something juicy. Like, where can we twist this? Like, that's never the case. I think it is organic, like, you know, whatever it is that comes up amongst us that's kind of on our mind. But I will say, I also, and I think you do too, we make a conscious effort at times to stay away from that stuff, even though sometimes it's hanging right there.
I think for the most part, it was a very quiet Mitch Marner season for a guy that's going unrestricted July 1st. And then...
Until a couple Mondays
Elliot
ago.
Friedman reported that...
Well, but listen, you and I had three shouting matches prior to that.
Yeah, but only three is pretty good for the whole year.
Over what?
Marner.
No, we have not.
Yeah, we have.
Oh, we've had some yells, bud.
Well, we've had a different philosophy on how important we thought he was to the team. That's the basis of anything that we've had in discussion, and that included what we really thought he was worth or what the value is or what the perception was out there. Mm-hmm. And that's the basis of
that.
And
I think this guy's point is, hey, and they're winning games. Can we talk about the hockey?
But it's every conversation that anyone that follows the Leafs could naturally progress to. So what do? You avoid it? Do you
shrug
it off? Or do you just go, no, everybody is thinking this or talking about it anyway?
I think you got to hit it a few times a year, and we did.
I think it's a
I don't think we beat it up.
No. I think it's a fundamental sort of debate when it comes to sports talk radio that, you know, I think a lot of times, and this is getting how the sausage is made here, but... You know, if you just talk about how it's, the game was great, end of show. They played awesome, end of show. Like, if you don't find things to be critical about as well as be positive of, there's just no conversation.
And I will say, as a former player, you know, I did all that video work, whatever, you wake up the next day and go, what do we got to fix from the night before? You know, it's like, okay, what didn't go right that we can do better? And you're always, all right, let's keep this stuff the same and get better. So you're always talking about the get better piece, never going, that was neat the way he shot it in or whatever, you know, that's not analysis.
And I took no great pleasure proving that he's way more valuable than you ever thought.
Listen, you did your best. to get your piece and drive that number up as high as you could. Don't drown me out with your laugh. You all year long made it a priority to get that number as high as possible. You made the family very proud. You did your best.
I did, or he did.
He did as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Both did.
Good on
you. With the people they had drive it up in the media, they nailed
good
it.
Good on you.
And my parents are fighting.
Hopefully Carolina or any other
team. If he goes to Carolina, Kipper, next year is going to be bad.
I'll bet you right now $1,000 he doesn't go to Carolina.
I would laugh my ass off if he went to Carolina.
You would laugh?
It would make our show so much better.
Leaf Nation, there would be no more despised human being in the history of the sport.
We know where you stand on that.
I mean, if he declines a trade for Mecko Rantanen and then goes there in the offseason, it is a PR disaster unlike you've ever seen for him. So he wouldn't do that. He's going to call
Ricky Z from Thornhill's going, like, what about me? What about me?
Oh, you want? Whoa. Jake? I'm in charge here.
All right. Okay.
I knew that you're in charge usually. But we'll go to Ricky Z with the poem. Ricky Z from Thornhill.
Oh, no. We got a poem.
You got a poem, yeah.
Oh, no.
Ricky Z from Thornhill. Oh, he's thinking of the poem.
Real Kipper, Borny, and producer Sam. Ricky Z from Thornhill is who I am. During the Avalanche game, I did the eye test, and this is why I think hybrid is the best. Every time the Leafs dumped in the puck, out came the biscuit, and they had no luck. This did not happen once, twice, or thrice. 15 of 16 times, they went down the ice. But fear not, boys, every time they entered the zone with the pucks on their stick, they gave the Avalanche a real good lick. The team has the skill to dance with the best. So, Chief, give the dump and chase a bit of a rest. Yeah, dumping the puck in has its place. But not every time, or your momentum you will erase. The D is shored up, the goaltending is ace. But a hybrid offensive game will put a smile on our face. Dump and chase, or puck possession will win the day. Let the players on the ice own it and have their say. Now, finally, as an ardent Leaf fan, I'm not proud, but how about some tickets for Game 7, Leafs and Oilers, and I will be dressed and loud. Thanks for hearing me out, boys. You got a great show, and go Leafs, go.
There you go.
Very nice. Very nice, Ricky Z from Thornhill.
Lovely.
So what's our conclusion? He
came up with, like, systems through a bowl.
Doesn't like the dump and chase or liked it enough
hybrid.
That he's... He thinks he can get tickets to a Game 7 Stanley Cup final.
I can't get games to Columbus, Toronto, let alone Game 7 Leafs tickets. So,
yeah, that's a big question I get, too. People like, can you get me Leafs? I'm like, no.
Absolutely can't.
I know I can't.
I can't get tickets to pay for.
Did you notice they're going up 20%?
20%. Yeah, that's a... Including yours or what?
Oh,
yeah.
Of course.
That hurts.
We do have a call about it.
Oh, no.
All right. What do they got to say?
Let's go to Lance and Whitby.
Once again, MLSE, sticking it to Joe Fan. I got to sit at the back of the arena, right up against the wall, for $10,000 a year, a 20% increase. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. I miss the days of going down to the Gardens when Joe Blue Collar Fan could go to the Gardens and afford a ticket. There was scalpers all the way up and down the street. You could buy a ticket at a reasonable price, or you could get inside and have standing room, right? Even Harold Ballard didn't stick it to us like these guys are doing. Even if you're lucky to get a ticket to go down there, it's $50 to park, $15 for a slice of their rotten pizza, $10 for a Coke. Forget it. You'll never get my money, MLSE. Forget it.
Well, Sam, it was nice working with you.
You put that on the air, right? It's not a charity, for God's sake. Yeah. It's supply and demand, and the demand is high.
Listen.
And if they win, are they worth it?
I mean, imagine that would change some people's tunes, wouldn't it?
We're a reflection of fans. It's not our thoughts. That's Lance and Whitby's thoughts. Let's go to She-Dog in Minnesota.
Just win, baby.
Sammy, you are an absolute psychopath, buddy. They lose by four games, and you're going crazy. I've been on the team since, like, 2013, all right? Oh. They're winning the cup. You're a psychopath. Kipper keeps you leveled.
They're winning the cup, baby!
I forgot about that guy.
Sheedog makes a good point. How many times over 4 years have I kind of talked you off the ledge?
No, not really.
Couple.
Maybe.
Listen, by the way, some guy.
Last week, for sure. Last week.
Some guy saying, I've been on the team since 2013. 2013.
What a time to join, too. Like, right after when, they blew it to the Bruins?
That was yesterday.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyways.
Kipper keeps you leveled.
I don't know if that's true. I can't. Where are we here? Let's play Kira in Seattle.
And my first hockey game ever was the Leafs playing the Panthers in the old Miami Arena. And I was immediately hooked when an 8-year-old turned around and gave me the finger and told me to go back to Canada. So more fun than watching the Leafs play the Panthers, I have to say. And then I moved to Seattle over 20 years ago and was introduced to Hockey Night in Canada for the first time. And it's been part of my Saturdays ever since. And I knew that someday I wanted to go back to Toronto to see the Leafs play on a Saturday night. So I'm turning 50 next month, and I've saved up money. And for my birthday, I've treated myself to go to Toronto during spring break to watch the Leafs play the Habs for Hockey Night in Canada.
Fantastic.
And I wanted to share all of this to try and paint a picture of just how excited, how emotional, how meaningful this trip is going to be for me. So here's my question. Is it completely impossible to have a wonderful fan experience at Scotiabank Arena? I've always noticed how quiet it was on the broadcast. Lately, it seems it's being discussed more and more, and many of my Canadian friends are doing everything possible to dampen my excitement and my expectations. And so I guess I was just hoping that you could recommend maybe any places or experiences that I should not miss in order to maximize that Saturday leading up to the game or at the arena itself, at least not feel like I'm only surrounded by bankers because this teacher is not a banker. I would be so grateful. I'm so excited. Thank you again.
That's awesome. Way to go.
Just don't ask Lance and Whitby about it.
Whoa.
As that old commercial goes, that's priceless.
Yeah. I mean,
that type of experience and that type of the way that you can get moved like that. It's hard to put a price on that, and she's worked hard to earn it. That's right.
Yeah, that's really cool. And my fan experiences have been overwhelmingly positive. I think my son was 6 when I took him to his first game, and you know we showed up in Islanders jerseys at the Leafs game, and fans were playful and you know whatever, but they weren't rude. It was fun, and the crowd is I think better in person than people think, depending on where you sit.
Okay, she's going to Toronto, Montreal.
That's fantastic.
That's as good as it gets.
No. Ever since I was like 6, it has always been the hottest ticket.
Never been to one.
It's different, Sammy. No. It's just different because it's more of a split. It's obviously in Toronto, it's still like majority of Leaf fans, but there is a ton of Montreal Canadian fans in the city, and it's a different vibe. It's a different feel. Kira will feel it the moment she gets near the building. You'll see more Montreal Canadian jerseys coming towards the building than you've seen any other team, any other opponent, and she's going to have a blast.
Awesome.
And anywhere you eat, anytime, any place around that building, it's going to be fantastic.
I don't know where to recommend to go. Real Sports is a great place to go. I love Real Sports.
Cool,
I love their wings.
There.
I love their cold beverages. Yeah. Anything about it, it's a great spot to go.
And if you're close to the alumni box, knock on the door,
and
we'll send out Lou Francischetti.
He's cool.
No,
I do love
him. If I'm there, Kira,
who's the man?
You tell me that you were the star of the Leaf line, and I'll get you a cold drink.
Let's go to Alex from Ontario.
Yo, Kipper, what's the deal, man? You're just like, the NHL, it's not very good anymore. Everything I watch, it's bad, and the games are just bad, and there's too many teams. But then whenever we have the greatest thing ever, which is the four nations face off and they're just trying to kill each other and it's amazing, you're like, oh well, how are they gonna play these all the time, the guys can't do it. It's like, make up your mind, buddy. Jeez.
Alex,
come on.
Alex,
anyway, love you guys.
Alex, that was pretty good. And yes, I can get in different moods and have different thoughts. All I can tell you, Alex, is you come here Monday through Friday, spend 2 hours.
Yeah.
and give it your best shot.
Oh, well, how are they going to play these all the time? The guys
at times,
do
I do feel like...
That's a great drop. Oh, my God.
The season's a little long.
Yeah. Definitely. That's for sure.
Yeah. And it's a little taxing on the guys. I try to protect them every once in a while. I don't know if you saw my style the last 25, 30 years, but it tends to be towards the players.
Mm-hmm. You're a player first.
Less about the league and the owners.
Let's go to Steve in Sarnia.
I just had a comment about our lovely Leafs. I've been a fan forever and ever. I've played the game for over 50 years. My concern is Morgan Rielly, how everybody seems to love him to death. But as a defenseman, he seems to give the puck away. He's not hard to play in front of the net. He's not tough in the corners. But he's somebody that everybody seems that we need to rely on. And now he's not even good offensively. He has trouble hitting the net, so on and so forth. So how do we move forward in the playoffs when we need toughness to get past the first round? Because we're all tired of the disappointment. Thanks. Love the show. Listen every day. Have a good one.
Yeah, Steve hits a pretty good point here that we've waited a long time for Morgan to be more consistent, look like the guy that played in the first round a few seasons ago against Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm. You and I were talking about plus minus last night, and it is. He's having a weird year. Like, Tanev and McKay plus 23, plus 22.
Minus
he's like,
20.
He's minus 20.
Minus 20, and you mentioned that.
A lot of empties on there. He's on the ice for 15 empty netters against something. But even if you're dash 5 and other guys are plus 20, says something.
I mean, Matthews and Marner are on the ice when there's an empty net goal, too.
Absolutely.
And they're not minus 20.
No, they're eating those same dashes. Absolutely. So, yeah, I would say the noise around that's getting louder. Morgan is helped by the fact that he is a great guy, good team guy, and says the right things and all that, no doubt. But, there's some smoke around it, for sure.
It will hit a fork in the road this spring. Mm-hmm. And if he can regain it, and there's no world, even with really good goaltending and a hot Matthews or Marner or Nylander, that Morgan doesn't play well, mm-hmm. right? So he's going to have to find it for the Leafs to have success in the playoffs. And if he does, then everything's okay moving forward. If it doesn't, it will be addressed in the offseason.
I've heard that too. That they could talk to him. It doesn't go well.
I think there's one quick one left here. John Doe from Huntsville.
Enjoy the show very much. Calling from Huntsville, Ontario. I'm wondering if the third man on the deck could leave his hat at home instead of wearing it on air. Thanks and have a great day.
You know who could have used that hat yesterday was Doug Armstrong. He was.
Yeah.
He's cooked.
He was a lobster.
My man got cooked.
Still hanging out on the beach because of the general manager meetings.
He joked about it. He's like, yeah, I got a little sun yesterday. And I was like, you need medical help. That's
So, Sammy, why do people like...
People care. I don't
why
know.
Why do they not like you in a hat?
I don't know. I always wear a hat. Wear a hat every day of my life, basically, like my whole life. I don't know. Sometimes I don't wear a hat, but usually I do wear a hat.
All right.
I was told...
Is this a professional job or no?
I was told specifically that when the show started that like I didn't have to change anything, and I didn't change anything, so I wear a hat. And I like wearing a hat. So.
It's really not that complicated.
I've never gave it 2 seconds.
You've never thought about it?
About Sammy in a hat?
No.
No.
Because you guys have exclusively seen me like 85% of days wearing a chapeau.
Well, I also think your chapeau is not randomly selected. It's often a reference to some current sporting event.
For sure. Yeah, I usually like representing.
So next week, Blue Jays.
Shout out to Blue Jays.
Yeah, big win.
A lot of Blue Jay hat next week.
Yeah.
With the opening
coming
up.
Yeah. They're literally
go
okay.
My Jays. We love the Jays.
Come on, Vladdy.
Vladdy signing?
Well, I mean, Mark said he was going to, so I hope he does.
On with us next, Mark Shapiro. Going to tell us. No.
And along with Lance from Whitby.
Yeah, right? Deathmatch.
Lance from Whitby. Doug from Florida on a Friday. All right. Do not move. We go national with Off the Rails Friday. Doug McClain next.